Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
Obedience to Christ. Now, Noah actually touched on this topic too, but we have a different angle today. They're complementary. And we'll just keep on going this direction. Obedience to Christ. The verse we're going to be talking about today is going to be John chapter 14, verse 21. I recommend that you guys take out a notebook or on your phones, whatever it is that you take to take notes. Again, it's always a good practice. It helps us. It also actually really helps us with retention as well when we are listening and writing down the notes of what we are hearing. So John 14, 21 says, "The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him." What an awesome, awesome, awesome passage. Hey, especially, let me go back. Especially one of your desires is to long to see Jesus. What an awesome, like he's telling you, he's going to reveal himself to you. I mean, that could come in different ways, right? But, oh man, I get so jealous when I hear people say that they had a dream with Jesus in it, or they had a vision or something. I get so jealous. All right, so today I have three main points for you guys. Point number one is obtain his commands. Point number two is keep his commands. And point number three is love and fear, pillars of obedience. And basically what we're going to be talking about today is obedience, right? And how do we do that practically? How do we keep obedient to God? And we'll just, I got three main points for you guys to hopefully help you guys out on your walk. So point number one, obtain his commands. The Bible verse for this is Jeremiah 31, 33. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, the Lord's declaration, I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So notice that John 14, 21 says that the one who has my commands, to have something is to have obtained something, meaning that there is to be intentionality. We don't stumble on things we want. We plan on the ways we can obtain whatever it is that we desire, right? We don't go and just be like, okay, well, I desire something and then hopefully I get it someday. That's not how it works. We plan. An easy example is if we want a piece of bread, we'll go to the store and get the bread, you know? So how do we obtain the commands of God? Well, for starters, when we make the conscious choice to accept Jesus in our hearts, we receive his kingdom as well. And with that, everything comes with it. In the book of Jeremiah says that God puts his teaching in our hearts. We obtain his commands when we receive and proclaim him as our Lord and Savior. Another way to obtain the commands of God is through knowing his word, knowing what he requires of us. We have to be intentional to read the word of God. Psalms 119:11 says this, "I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." This also speaks on being intentional with learning God's word, that we let it penetrate our thinking. Let the word of God renew our thinking that we may not sin against God and become, and it also helps us become obedient to his will. Commands are instructions and framework on how we should live. I once heard someone say, they put it so well, they said, when God gave his commandments to his people in the wilderness, he was giving them a culture. He was changing their culture. He was giving them something. He was just changing everything. So before God gave them instructions on how to live, they were accustomed to tradition. So going back to the Israelites, they were, if you guys remember, if you guys read this, God took out the Jewish people out of Egypt. He took them out, you know, if you probably know all that story. If you don't, then go back and read it. But he took them out and he gave them his commands. Though they were accustomed to the command, or they were accustomed to the customs of Egypt. So the practices of Egypt, since they were living in Egypt as slaves, they were used to that. They were used to that, even though maybe they wanted to practice within their own, you know, context, within their own God, wanting to practice, they still would do it in the manner of the Egyptians, basically. So God, when he gave the commands, the Ten Commandments, right? When he gave them the Ten Commandments, that was God's love. That was God also establishing a new culture within the people he just saved, the people he was trying to redirect to a life that is pleasing to him. And honestly, is good for us as well. So in order to be obedient to Christ, we must learn what it is that he is calling us to do. To give you a practical example of this, when we first start a new job, we study the rules and system of the job that we are to obtain. If we skip this step, we will be out of line with the rules of the company that we are working for. We all have to go through orientation. Here in America, we call it orientation process. If we get the job, it's a period where we are learning how to do our job. And with that, you know, there's what's expected and required of us. We have to do our part to pay attention to what we are learning. God's commands are the same way. The Word of God has our orientation process to a successful Christian life. We cannot use the excuse that we were unaware when we are on Judgment Day. The Word of God has been given to us. It's our job to obtain it and study it so that we too can be obedient to the ways of the Lord. All right. Point number two, keep his commands. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." They're not burdensome. Jesus said his yoke is light. So in order to keep the commandments, we have to learn that we need to obtain them. We already learned that. That was the first point. We need to obtain them. How do we obtain them? Reading the Word of God, getting to know Jesus, getting to know his heart. But then we should ask ourselves, why should I keep the commandments? That's always a good question. Why? Why should I do this? Like, what? Okay, I could have it, but why? What benefit is it to me? So why does God want me to be obedient to these? The simple answer is because it's for our own good. Honestly, it's for our own good. Why do parents establish certain rules in their house? Parents do it in order to keep the children from harm's way. In the same way, God is commands for us is for our well-being. When we keep his commands, the fruit when we keep his commands, the fruit and the result of that is prosperous life, is prosperity. This is because we are aligned with God, the Creator, and he knows how we function. He knows what is best because he is the one who designed everything. To keep his commands and reflect him is also to love him out of respect and gratitude. So to paint an illustration here, I'm going to give you guys my example, right? And what I went through. But again, this is not to speak ill of any people. This is not to speak ill of my own people, American people. I love my people. And we're great people overall, but, you know, just like in every people has their bad apples, you know? So again, it's a disclaimer. It's not saying that all Americans are like this. So I remember when I went to Rocky Point with some friends for a summer. If you're not familiar with Rocky Point, it's a beach in Mexico that is near in Arizona. That's where I live, Arizona. So it's a beach. We don't have a beach here in Arizona because we are landlocked. And so we need to travel to go to a beach, either California or to Mexico. Those are the nearest ones. So my friends and I were eating at a restaurant, and we noticed a group of Americans that were being obnoxious. They were being loud and polluting the beach with cans and beer cans, and they just had no regards of the people around them. And they had no respect for any for the country's rules and that were established, and they were inconsiderate. and did not respect the commands of the nation that they were in. They were Americans. They were my own people. I was there too. I was an American, you know, and we were in Mexico, a whole different country. So their example was disrespectful to all who were looking at them. They did not give us Americans a good representation to the Mexican people. In the same way, when we give our life to King Jesus, we are accepting his ways and his decrees. We are an extension of example of his kingdom to the people of the world around us. So we are the example of Jesus on this planet to the people who have not heard of Jesus yet. We got to keep that in mind. We are called to represent the king of our kingdom. And how foolish do we look to the people that we are called to reflect Jesus if we live a life of disobedience to our king? How can we say we love God and not keep his ways? You know, like, that's why some people in the world judge us because of that. And they're not in the wrong for it, because some of us have done a horrible job at reflecting and being obedient to the king, to our king. And that is counterintuitive. It's like someone saying they love their city, but then contributing to its demise with their actions, whether it may be selling drugs or painting graffiti. I always think it's funny because a lot of these people that, you know, are doing graffiti art or whatever, or just graffiti and painting all over their city, they a lot of times they say they love their city, but yet they contribute to making their city more trashy looking, right? So that's how foolish we look, y'all, if when we say that we love Jesus, but yet we don't keep his commands and we start living a sloppy, sinful life. So if you love something, you take care of it. That's what keeping is. You keep it. I understand that we are on a journey of sanctification. We're all on this journey. Sanctification will slip up, right? How do we keep his commands practically, though? How do we keep his commands practically? And we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We get filled with the Spirit, with reading of his word and time in his presence in prayer and in worship. You might say, Matt, I tried that and it's not working. Well, consistency is key. Just like a diet, it won't work if you only try it one day. That's why the Bible calls us to pray without ceasing. This is a lifestyle. It's a consistency of choices to spend time with God. So again, keep his commands. How do we keep his commands? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can. And that is the grace of God. The grace of God is that he gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do the things that he has placed in our hearts that will please him, which is keeping his commands. And in return, also helping our own lives. Because again, it's for our own good. So this is why we want to keep the commands of God. And this is how we keep the commands of God. Point number three is love and fear, pillars of obedience. Second Thessalonians 3:5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts to God's love and Christ's endurance. When we read John 14:21, we can assume that it's saying that in order for us to love God, we first must obey his commands in order to receive love for him. And that's right. That is right. It's only part of it. The reality is that we are obedient through love for our Lord Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And notice that in my last two points, we are given what is necessary to love, and necessary because he loved us first. He gave us his commands out of love so we can know the truth. He gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life of obedience and to love him in return. Everything that he gives us is out of love. John 14:21 says that the signs of those who love God is obedience to him. We love each other because he first loved us. Love is the fuel to obedience, and all the commands of Jesus can be narrowed down to two. So Matthew 22:37 and 39 says, he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. love your neighbor as well. And Jesus also says that this yoke is easy. Yes, keep track of all commandments can seem like a lot of work. So, again, why does Jesus narrow it down to those two commandments, to the most important of it all? Because those, if we keep just those two commandments, everything else is also falls into line. We don't have to struggle to not murder someone if we love them, right? We don't have to struggle to not speak ill of somebody if we love them. And the same goes for in our relationship with Christ. And the more we walk in obedience to Christ. So we don't sin against the ones we love. Do you know that it takes more work from to frown than to smile? So yeah, it takes more work to frown than to smile. And I think that's very interesting. I think it's so representative of our life with Christ and without. Sure, sinning could be easy at first, but the trouble of the consequences are so demanding and can take a lifetime to recover. But when we spend the time with Jesus and get filled with his word and spirit, walking in love and obedience becomes like cruise control. A good way we can gauge if we're operating in the flesh or in the spirit is by how hard or easy it is to love others. Let our prayer be that God keeps us giving us what is necessary to love him. We need to spend a currency of time to in the presence of our Lord and fall in love with him in obedience, and it becomes a light yoke. Then obedience brings us closer to God. John 14, 21 says, "And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him." Noah last week spoke about how obedience is walking with God. That was so good. I really like that point. Walking with God is him being close to us. Obedience brings God closer to us. Jesus says that he will reveal himself to us if we obey his commands through love. So, just like there's love, again, like my point says, fear also. There's the pillar of fear. So there's two parts of obedience. There is the love of God, and then there's the fear of the Lord. So I don't know how many of you guys ever heard this phrase, this question, right? Do you rather be feared or do you rather be loved? And, you know, people always present it as like, okay, you got to choose one or the other. But I honestly, it's both. For God, for Jesus, it's both. We got to love him, right? And love brings an obedience out of us too. But so does fear of God. And I'm not talking about fear generally. Like, we're not supposed to fear things. The only being we are supposed to fear is God himself, because he is the one that has ultimate say of where we go for eternity. That is scary. To think that somebody else has the say to take us up either to his presence or to hell, right? So it's, you know, so a lot of preachers actually preach about the fear of God, and they talk about how it is the respect and just the reverence for God, and it's not necessarily fear. Although I do agree with that, it is also the respect and the reverence for God. But I think there is also a healthy component to fearing God, like the literal fear of him, because again, he is so grand. He is so he's huge. He's all powerful, all knowing. There is nothing that we can escape from in his presence. Like, he is Alpha and Omega. And there is some sort of weight to that, right? There is a lot of weight to that. So a Bible verse for this, we got Proverbs 14:27 and Proverbs 19:23. It says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord leads us to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction, and he will not be visited with evil." So the thing is, we got two pillars, one of love and one of fear, right? We need both of them. They work together to keep us in obedience to God. Because what happens if we just try to obey God through just love and having love and that's it? then you get a very sloppy doctrine. You start living a hyper grace theology where God doesn't care if I do this because ultimately he loves me. Yeah, he does love us, but he's also just. But on the other hand, if we just do the fear aspect and without the love also, then you start getting into a theology that's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just very burdensome. It's very works-based theology, right? So we need both of them. They both work together in harmony in order for us to be in aligned and in obedience with the will of God for our lives. It's not one and or without the other. It's both together. And I know it seems very counterintuitive. It's perplexing how love and fear together could coexist to harmonize and to strengthen our obedience. It's crazy, but it's the reality of how it works. So maybe you're here asking, okay, well, Matt, is my first time. I never heard about Jesus. I never heard the gospel. Maybe it's your first time here. And you're just saying, well, I do recognize that I do fear God because, you know, I want to keep his commandments, but I don't know his commandments because I'm new. That's fine. We'll start the journey. We are here to help you with this journey of knowing Jesus and knowing his commands, but also knowing his love and learning how to fear him. It's a good fear, not a bad fear. So Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think that's a perfect representation of the two pillars of love and fearing God. Just the first part, the wages of sin is death. That is so scary to hear because we are all sinners. Matter of fact, the Bible says here, so Romans 6:23, we have a little representation. Again, we are all sinners. We were born into sin because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, right? So because of that, we deserve punishment. We deserve a life without the presence of God. We were disconnected from God because of sin. And that's where you see the gap right there. So on this side, you see, we are here, and this is the gift of God, where God is at, the Father, his presence. And again, through sin, we had a division. There was no way for us to work it out. But that's where God's love comes, that he loved us so much that he gave his son for us. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his crucifixion and resurrection on the cross, and that he took upon himself the demands of our sins for our life. He took on the demands of our sins to give us eternal life and reconnect us back to the Father. And that's what our little illustration we have here. So it's little, but it's powerful. So now we have a way to get to the Father through Jesus. The only way is Jesus, guys. There is no Muhammad, the only way is Jesus, all right? If anybody else tells you there's another way, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not true. There is no one else. There is no other name. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So how can I receive what God did for me? How can I receive what Jesus did on the cross for me? Easy. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. You get the gift of eternal life. So part one is believing in your heart. And then we got to confess also. There's two parts to it. Believing. So if that's you today, if you're new, you've never given your life to Jesus, but you believe this gospel, you believe that Jesus actually came and died for your sins, then let's confess him. Confess him so that you too could receive eternal life. So we'll all say this together. And let's do it. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.